never forget why you are the church. By the way, you say, well, I don't know if it's sweet or not. Well, you might need to trust them, amen? A lot of people say, I've never experienced some of the stuff that we're singing. That's not God's fault. Now, hear me now. It's going to be a long morning if you're going to be like that. That's not God's fault. Let's not blame the lack of miracles, the lack of answered prayer, the lack of strength and victory in our life on God. Listen, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But unfortunately, so often we change and we run away and we walk away and we take steps in the wrong direction. And the beauty of it is we can be forgiven and restored immediately. So Romans chapter 1, let me just go ahead and remind everyone today. And Nick's already reminded you, but we did celebrate Resurrection Sunday last week. And it was an amazing Sunday. But this morning, we yet again celebrate Resurrection Sunday. So if your person, if you did not invite like you invited last week, again, that's not on God. That's not on me. That's not on your neighbor. That's on you. Why? Because it's Resurrection Sunday today. Amen. Let me get a big amen on that. We're going to praise the Lord. Now we return to our study of the book of Romans. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 1 says this. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. See, Paul knew exactly who he was because of Jesus and what he was to do for Jesus. I have found that for too many Christians, or rather disciples of Christ, because if you ask many of the Christians today, hey, are you a disciple? They'd say, well, not yet. Well, that means that you're not a Christian. Because you being a Christian means that you are a disciple. What is a disciple? A disciple of Jesus Christ is a follower, a student of Jesus. That means that you are passionate about His word and you are passionate about the things that He wants us to do. So you are a disciple if you're saved. But they have no idea who they are in Christ and what they are to do for Christ. I want you to know something. I don't know about you. Has anyone ever grew up working? Or when I say working, like let's say maybe you had parents that that the yard would have to get done, or you had some work around the house. Well, if you've been to my parents' house, you know there's a bunch of land, and there used to be a lot more trees than what there is now. We had to cut them down because they died and stuff. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is, man, it seemed like every single stinking Saturday, right, we would be moving couches. I don't know where these couches came from. I don't know. I've never sat on these couches. I don't know. I don't know if we just had a little business on the side, whatever it was, but there was something to do. And man, I could not stand because my dad was one of those guys. He was like, man, listen, I want to spend time with you. But while we're spending time with you, I'm going to work you like just absolutely to death. I'm like, man, this is fun, Dad. You know? But anyway, he would say, hey, listen, we're going to work Saturday. I'm like, okay, cool. When we going to start? When we going to end? You know what I'm saying? He was like, don't worry about that. I told you Saturday. I was like, yeah, but I got some buddies that we want to go do this. He's like, Saturday. And man, I'm sitting there and the work would start to get done and we'd start taking a little break and I'd stand around and you know how the teenagers are, you know what I'm saying? They'd be like, this is stupid, man. I don't like this. I was a punk like that, you know what I'm saying? And you know what he said, hey, if you don't know what to do, don't just stand there, do something. Did you like that story, Dad? Okay, because usually it's not as cool. But anyway, so listen. In other words, in the church today, you say I don't really know exactly what to do. By the way, we're going to try to make that as clear as possible today at the meetings. But I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to do. I can tell you what you're not supposed to do. You're not supposed to do nothing. So get to doing something, and it's amazing how clarity will be given to you through that process. But a lot of people, all they know is they have been saved and they are going to heaven. Church, believe it or not, there is so much more to following Jesus than just going to heaven. Do you know your role? Ignorance is not bliss in the walk of faith. Let me just tell you something. You being okay living in ignorance of what God has called you to do and His word, you may not think it hurts you, but I can tell you this, it'll hurt this church. Because God has gifted you to have a role in the body of Christ. We are to grow in our faith as we walk and serve the Lord. God gifted you through the Holy Spirit to serve Him and to make Him known. So Paul continued in this introduction with explaining how important and loved his fellow saints were to him. Did you know that it is important to know how you are known by others? The way that people see you, the way that people view you, that is, believe it or not, important. Well, I don't care what people think about me. Well, I don't need people in my life. I don't need man's approval. It's funny how we'll say that when we're trying to live according to the flesh, and the man's approval that we're talking about is brothers and sisters in Christ trying to restore you to fellowship. We say, I don't need your approval. Can I tell you something? God could have very well sent that brother or sister just like he sent Nathan to David to get you back and restored. Well, I just don't really care. I'm just me. Well, have you ever heard of a testimony? How about a witness? You know, Matthew 5, verse 13 through 16 says this. It says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden underfoot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Verse 15 says this, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Church, hear me. It does matter how you are known. So let's see how these saints in Rome were known. Verse 8 in Romans 1 says this, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. The title is, How Are You Known? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you just for a spirit of worship this morning, God. And I just ask you, Lord, that those that have ears to hear, may they hear today. And Lord God, I know that we are not here just to go through the motions. May we never take for granted the freedom that we have to freely hear the word of God preached and to study and to know exactly what you would have us know, Lord God. I just pray, Lord, that you lift us up, God, out of mediocrity and out of just maybe not knowing, so not doing, God. I pray that we're not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And I pray our testimony individually and as a local assembly of believers can be known to our community. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. They were known for their faith. And because of that, Paul was thankful. He gave thanks for his brothers and sisters in Christ. Did you know? I don't care what you think, how you were raised, what kind of person, it doesn't matter. Did you know you cannot do this alone? You realize, I know that a lot of people say, man, I could just not see a person my entire life and be happy as can be. You know what? You go try to be a monk or a nun, and you're going to do that yourself. But I'm telling you right now, God planned for us to be a family. See, I can tell you this, as time goes by, in my physical family, my earthly family, as time goes by, you know what I start doing? I start missing my family. I could not imagine not seeing my kids. I couldn't imagine not seeing my wife. I could not imagine not seeing my brothers and sisters on both sides, my in-laws, my parents. Listen, there's a time when you love somebody that you long to see them. Can I tell you this? I can't go too long without seeing y'all. Believe it or not, I don't know. God works in mysterious ways, church. But I can't go too long without seeing y'all. And listen, I kid you not, I start to long to see. Why? Because I'm thankful that we are a family. Now, we're not just any normal family. A lot of us are not the same. We're very, very different. I still think it's a miracle that Cedar Grove Stinking Baptist Church hired this dude right here to be their pastor. But you know what? God makes it work. Why? Because we're of faith. Our faith brings us together. The Christian walk can be one of the loneliest situations, but that's not how God designed it. We are the body. Ephesians 1 tells us that we are the fullness of him who fills all in all. And by the way, I have never attended, preached at, or heard of a church where all its members lived, thought, or acted the same. But they were thankful for each other. People are raised different. Priorities are different. One person does this for a living. The other does that for a living. However, a God-glorifying church is not a group of similar people, but a group of people with the same Savior and a singular heart for Christ. That's a God-glorifying church. And that we ought to be thankful for. It might not be your friend outside of Jesus, but thank God, because of Jesus, we are not just friends, but we are family. I tell the group of guys that are kind of around my age that, and they actually, no, they start telling me more than I tell them. I said, man, if it wasn't for Jesus, I don't know if this friendship would work. We're just so different. But because of Jesus, guess what? It does work. We ought to act as such. The more, by the way, we act as a loving family, the more likely our family will grow. Nobody wants to get into a dysfunctional family. We see that on TV shows all the time. We're like, man, I'm glad it's on the TV and not in my house. Well, you're thinking, man, I'm glad someone else struggles too, because my house is crazy too, you know what I'm saying? But listen, hey, the more we show the community that we love each other and we're thankful for each other, hey, I'm telling you right now, our family will grow. Paul gave thanks. But he was also prayerful. Look at Romans 1:9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. What you pray for, listen to me now, what you pray for is what you really are about. What you pray for is what you care about. What you pray for is what you'll give your time to. If you want to know where your heart is, examine your prayer life or lack thereof. Paul prayed for his fellow saints because he loved them. He was thankful for them and the faith they had in the Lord. But Paul goes even further than just praying for them. How is Paul known here in Romans 1? Well, first off, we see that he is thankful. We see that he is prayerful, but he is also helpful. Look at verse 10. We're going to read verses 10 through 13. When you get there, say, read. Making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Now let's not forget who Paul is here. Paul, an apostle called by God, a slave of Christ, set apart unto the gospel, knew all this was so that he could help others in the faith. You realize that the reason why churches are going the route they're going is because we refuse to help others in the faith. I'm not talking about just watching a nursery, although we need nursery workers, Cedar Grove. I'm not just talking about doing a children's church, although we need workers there. I'm talking about an intentional, I want to help you with how God has gifted me. Could you imagine me getting up in here and say, you know what, I just really don't really care to preach this morning. So I'm going to kind of tell you some jokes and then we'll all laugh, have a good time. I'll tell you, Jesus loves you. We'll get out of here. You wouldn't let that happen in a minute. There'd be a meeting after church. I'd be eating at my house thinking everything's okay. I made them laugh. Everything's good. I get a phone call. Hey, brother, you're fired. You say, well, that's you. You're a preacher. Hold up. It's funny how we will sit here and say, well, if you don't do your job, then you're going to reap the consequences. But don't point me out what my job is. Did we get quiet this morning? Amen. Who was that? Where was that at? That's what I'm talking about, bro. A trained Baptist right there. But seriously, think about it. How double standard are we? How easy for it to say, well, if they don't do it, then they should be fired, or they should have consequences. Man, they're not living right, but we're okay to just sit around and do nothing for the kingdom. Paul wanted to help. Paul wanted to help. I believe many of us forget that we are to help each other, minister to each other. Look at what Paul says in verse 10, making request. If by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. As he prays, it's not just for these believers, but it's so he can be with them. His desire was to see the church, not a building, not a program, not a pew, but he desired to see the people. Look at verse 11. For I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established. I want you to know and I want you to hear me this morning. A commitment to a common Lord draws people together. If we sat here and said, you know what, hey, we're going to have a party and man, we're all, let's just say, I wouldn't say Titans fans because we're talking about a Super Bowl here. But let's just say we had a team that we liked or whatever, you know, whatever it is. And we say, man, hey, look, we're gonna get together and we're going to have a Super Bowl party. Everyone's going to be invited and everyone's passionate about it. And everyone that wants to be a part of a Super Bowl party, you know what they start saying? Hey, man, what can I bring? Hear me now. Don't miss me. Hey, what can I bring? Well, you don't have to bring anything. Don't worry about it. No, no, no. If I'm coming, I'm contributing. So what can I bring? I'll bring the wings. I'll bring the Rotel. I'll bring the sweet tea. I'll bring the lemonade. We're going to have a good party, man. Everything's going to be there. We're going to have a good time. We're not going to have to want for nothing. We're going to enjoy the purpose that we're there. We don't want anything to distract from why we're there, and that is to watch this Super Bowl. You know what's funny to me? We'll sit there and get so passionate about a party to watch some football, but we are here hearing the word of God, worshiping the name of Jesus, and we say, well, I just bring myself and I'm good. Well, I'll just, you know what, hey, I just don't have time to really contribute, but hey, bless me if you can, preacher. Is anyone with me this morning? God help us. We'd rather bring some wings than work for the kingdom. That's messed up. I talked to someone and it was funny because, and this person has a good heart and I don't know him too well, but you know, I kind of know a little bit and I was like, hey man, how was your Easter? How was your Resurrection Sunday? And how was everything? And he goes, man, we had a tournament. I was like, what? I was like, figure it. He said, man, our priorities are kind of messed up, isn't it? And I'm like, what? Yeah, you just told me. What I'm trying to say is this. We know that we are to do. We know that God has gifted us. We know what to do is right, but yet we don't do it. You know, the book of James calls that sin. I wonder if many people in the church realize they're living in sin because they simply refuse to do what God has told them to do. To be servants of the same master is to be in harmony with one another. If the unity and the draw and the harmony is not present, what does this reveal? Well, maybe our commitment is not where it needs to be. Verse 12, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. See, Paul understood he needed them as much as they need Paul. How mature was Paul spiritually? Now, if I just ask you that question right out the gate, you're going to tell me very mature, right? That's the Apostle Paul. He, you know, he planted all these churches. He wrote all these epistles, man. He was the greatest missionary who ever walked the earth. He was definitely spiritually mature. All those things look really good, but you know how you can really test someone's maturity? Look right here. Let's think about it. Paul did not plant this church. Paul did not plant the church in Rome. We are not told how, but this church began and prospered without the Apostle Paul ever having been there physically or even communicated with them in person. He has never preached one sermon to the believers in Rome. He has never had a business meeting and structure meeting and strategy meeting and growth plan meeting with the believers in Rome, yet they were prospering. Now, you say, what is the point? What does this matter? Church, we have a culture of if I don't start it, if it's not my way, if I don't have authority or say in it, I don't care anything about it. Believe it or not, God can use people other than you and me. Amen? Listen, I told you I was the 50th tenured pastor of Cedar Grove Baptist Church. Ministry has been happening here for a lot longer than I've been here. And if the Lord tarries, it'll be here a lot longer than I'm here. Does that make any sense to anybody? But while we're here, while God has us together, how about we get together and let's serve Him, not selfishly, not arrogantly. Believe it or not, God is not bound by how you see church should function. If I've learned anything in ministry, it's that oftentimes we like to hinder rather than to help. Well, I just don't like it. It's not how I would have done things. You know how many times I hear that in my life? I'm like, man, I tell you what, you know, if you want to try it, you can do it. You know what I'm saying? So I'll just stay out of it and say, well, no, go, come on and lead this. No, I don't want to lead it. I just want you to know that I don't like how it went down. You know, we should have a slap rule. Now, there's some people I wouldn't want to slap because they might slap back. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, when I was in college and we would do projects and we'd do group projects. Anyone ever had a group project in school? Those are the worst. Because I care about my grades, and if you got a group that didn't care about their grade, you'd be doing all the work. You know what I'm saying? Man, it is preaching today. Are y'all hearing me? My goodness. All right. But we'd be in a group project, man. And I'm like, hey, what are we going to do with this? What are we going to do? And man, the only way to get a good grade, and the reason why group projects are not the most fun is if you get a group that one cares and one doesn't, or one has to be in control, won't contribute, or this or that, all of a sudden what you're doing is nothing's getting done except for arguing. And I've had many a group projects to where we argued a whole lot and nothing really got done until we realized, hold on, guys, this is our grade, not just my grade. This is our grade. We are getting great on this. Not just you, but we're going to get great on this. So if we would just work together, yes, we have differences. Yes, all the. If we would just work together, guess what? We might actually put out a good product to the professor. I've been a part of good ones. I've been a part of bad ones. They were all frustrating, though. Why? Because when you get people together, guess what? It's easy to get frustrated. My goodness. Listen, have you ever tried to figure out where to eat at the church? I mean, hey, Heather, sweetheart, what do you want to eat today? I don't know. What you mean you don't know? I don't care. Do you want to eat? Oh, yeah. Well, no, we're eating. Where do you want to go? I don't care. She said, well, just give me some options. So I give her all these options. I don't like any of those. So I'm like, this is Lebanon. You either have fast food or this, you know. So what I'm trying to say is, guys, we got to understand that the church functions with a body of believers that, yes, we're different, but we must understand that, hey, God can use any one of us for His glory. And if God is in the process of using somebody, let's not hinder. Let's come alongside and help. We don't even teach our children to be that self-centered. Paul, the greatest church planter and ministry driver in our history, longed to see the believers in Rome. Not out of envy or spite or out of like, well, I'm going to come in here and teach you how to do it better. No. Out of thankfulness and love to help with what God had already started, to be comforted together with them. However, because they both were faithfully serving the Savior, this could happen. That word established right there in verse 11. Look at it again. It says, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established. Now, we may read that and think, oh, he's coming in to set the structure, to set the tone, and to do things his way. But that's not what that's saying. That word established in verse 11 is the Greek word that means to strengthen or to make more firm. Paul is not coming with, I'll take it from here attitude, but rather, look at what God has done. Let me come alongside and help you kind of attitude. John Stott is a preacher and Bible scholar, and he had this to say about Paul's mindset here. It's a little bit long, but we're going to read it, okay? Paul knows about the reciprocal blessings of Christian fellowship, and although he is an apostle, he is not too proud to acknowledge his need of it. Happy is the modern missionary who goes to another country and culture in the same spirit of receptivity, anxious to receive as well as to give, to learn as well as teach, to be encouraged as well as to encourage. And happy is the congregation who has a pastor of the same humble mind. I attest to you today that this does not apply only to a pastor, but also could read this. And happy is the congregation who has members of the same humble mind. Paul desires to use his personal gifts to help strengthen what has already been going on. He was humble in his helping. Why? Because his priority and focus of his life was the ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, verse 13 is very interesting. It says here, we're going to read it. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. What he's really saying to him is, I wanted to come sooner, but I was prevented. Now, why in the world would he be prevented? What could have prevented the Apostle Paul from coming to the church in Rome or the saints in Rome? Well, it could have been satanic opposition. By the way, me and a brother was talking about that this week, and a lot of us, we say, man, Satan's on me today. Satan's on me today. Lucifer, get up out of my house. Let me just tell you something. Lucifer's not in your house. We sometimes put the character of God onto the character. Now, I'm not being blasphemous here. I'm saying what we often do. We think that the devil is omnipresent just like the Lord. He is not. He cannot be here, there, and everywhere. God is that. So what I'm not underestimating, right, demonic oppression. I'm not underestimating that he had, listen, the Bible says a third of the angels fell when he fell. There's a big army of darkness that is attacking us. I get that. But so many people say, man, Satan's on me. You ain't living that good for Satan to be on you. If that offends you, hey, get to living better. I don't know what to tell you. And there was a time in the book of Acts, and man, I should have wrote it down, but it was a person that was present, and a demon was speaking to him and he said, hey, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know, but who are you? You say, well, it could have been satanic opposition. That could have prevented him. By the way, we shouldn't let demonic opposition prevent us from serving the Lord. As a matter of fact, the fastest way to get that demonic oppression off your life is to submit your life renewed to Christ. You say, well, I'm already saved. No, I'm talking about, hey, whatever's going on in your life that is not Christ-like, make it Christ-like. The Bible says that if you submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee. You know what that means? He'll run from you. You know what I love? I love when I first started coaching and stuff, and a kid would come up to me and be like, what's up? And you ain't good at basketball. I'd go like this right here, like that. And they go, and they start running. They fleed. It's nice to have the feeling that someone's fleeing from you can I tell you something? I don't care how powerful that you feel the darkness is in your life. Jesus is more powerful. Amen? That was a little commercial for you. But it could have been satanic opposition that prevented him. It could have been the daily pressures of his concern for all the churches. It could have been other immediate opportunities to share the gospel to other Gentiles. Understand this. The Holman New Testament commentary describes Paul's life as this. He was a man gripped by the gospel. What that means is no matter what was going on, no matter what his plan was, if God gave him an opportunity to share the gospel and to minister to those who needed the gospel, guess what he did? He stopped what he was doing and he did exactly what was in front of him. He didn't just say, oh, well, I'm busy to do God's work. No, sometimes God's work is right in front of you. If I'm too busy to take a phone call from someone who is struggling, I'm too busy. If I'm too busy to not, now I'm not saying we may be able to meet immediately, but if I'm too busy to meet with someone to help them and counsel them and love on them, let me just tell you something. Your pastor's too busy. If you're too busy to help a Christian, if you're too busy to share the gospel, hear me, you are too busy. Now, how should this look like a Cedar Grove? No matter where you come from, no matter what your background, no matter how you feel, I want everyone to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's see who can get there first. I'm there. You there? You ain't there. Thou shalt not. All right. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to be in verses 18 through 22. I love this so much. As a matter of fact, we're talking about how we can maybe kind of, you know, put some design and some aesthetics and kind of update the the worship center, and I want a cornerstone somewhere with this inscribed on it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18 through 22 says this: "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, because we have the access, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." Church, how are you known? Are you a helper or are you a hinderer? Are you filled with humility or are you filled with pride? Do you long to see your fellow believers? Or do you pick and choose who you accept? Are you thankful? Are you prayerful? Are you helpful? I want you to know, church, when we are together, discouragement within the body will decline and encouragement will be evident. I'll go a step further. Let me just tell you this. Here's transparency again. Don't get me in trouble one day. I cannot do this without you. I can't. I've actually attempted every now and again. It doesn't work. You say, what does that mean? If we have to worry about nothing, always something needing to be done, and always something needed to be done, and that 10% of people literally exhausted to the core, physically, because you know that our servants, you know they go through stuff at home too, right? Hear me, church. You know the people that always do nursery. You know the people that always do children's church. You know the people that always are there when they want us. You know the people that are always there doing this, greeting people. You may look at them and say, man, their life is perfect. Absolutely not. They're going through stuff just like you're going through stuff. But you know what they've done? They've chose not to let that hinder their service to the Lord. And that's how we should all be. Why? Because we need each other. We need each other. You show me a church of one, and I'll show you that there's not a church there. We need to stop with this. I got things to work on myself, man. So we need to repent and let's show the world how God can truly work. How are we known, church?